And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, that's Bubba, and I'm Big D, and
Patrick's over there.
Hi, how are you?
Patrick, a lot of people ask why Patrick sometimes sounds... Here, Patrick, hit your little mic thing so people can hear. We get this all the time. Why does Patrick sound...
Hello.
Why does he sound like he's in a tube?
Because I'm in another room.
And his voice comes over a speaker, which is directly over my head, and it's really loud. So there you go. He'll make his way in here in a moment to join us on a real microphone. And I apologize. I'm going to be clearing my voice, my throat a lot. I have bronchitis. This is Bubba talking, and there you go. So real quick, want to hit our details about our sponsor, because this is a big deal. Betterment is awesome technology. It changes everything, and it definitely changes the way people invest, whether you're a multi-million dollar investor or if you're just starting out. Betterment is the smart answer to the question, how should I manage my money? It's powered by smarter technology and personalized for your financial goals. Betterment automatically. This is pretty cool. Betterment automatically manages your investments, minimizes the taxes, all for a fraction of the cost of a traditional financial service. You just set it and forget it, and they've got over 95,000 customers already. $2.3 billion are being managed under management with Betterment. Betterment is the smarter, easier way to invest. Isn't it time you used smarter technology to build your wealth? Sign up today and receive up to 6 months free. And you can get full terms and conditions at betterment.com/podcast. Betterment, making investment better. Seriously, sign up right now for your free trial at betterment.com/podcast. That's betterment.com/podcast. And your phone's ringing, Patrick.
It's a buzz. It's on Vibrate. Yeah, so, wow, we had what a crazy fun week.
Where do we begin?
All kinds of stuff. Ray Benson, Sleep of the Wheel, was amazing. Those guys, you know, I like country music. I even like some of the stuff that, you know, gets criticized for not being too country. I like some of this stuff. I swing more traditional, though, when it comes to country music. But I can appreciate some of the other stuff. But when the Sleep of the Wheel came in, Ray Benson, wow. Those guys are so good.
It's three people filled this entire room and filled the radio with sound. Yeah. I mean, it's such a rich type of music. You know, you've got the piano, the fiddle, you've got the guitar, and it just completely...
Texas swing is a genre of music that it really is kind of a lost art, but and I don't listen to it much, to be honest with you, but when I hear it, it makes me go, why don't I listen to this more? It's so good.
Yeah. I wanted to ask Ray to tell a story, but I was afraid he would either not remember it or not want to tell it. But I read it in a book, and I was having this conversation with Michael Ray in an event a while back because he had read the same book that about Ray Benson. He's talking about walking in, and I think it was a stairwell at the record label in the 80s. He was on the same label as Merle Haggard. It was him and Merle Haggard and the president of the record label. The president of the label said something like, you know, Merle, that latest record of yours, I just don't like it. I just don't hear a hit. I don't know what we're going to do with it. And Merle didn't respond. So he said something. He kind of said it again. He goes, I don't know if you heard me, Merle, but I said, I don't like that new record of yours. Merle said, that's the fifth time you've told me that. The president of the label said, no, actually, it's the eighth time I've told you that. And Merle said, well, then I'm about three times behind telling you to kiss my. Like, man, you know, I can't imagine. Not a lot of people in music today, especially any of the bigger guys that could get away with that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But there, you know what? There are a few. I can hear Tim McGraw saying that to the president of his label. If the guy told him he didn't like the record.
Yeah.
I can kind of hear Tim going, wait, guess what? I don't care what you think.
Do you know who I am? I have made it. Leave me alone.
Kenny's Step that off. Way. Kenny wants to make songs
that he likes
that will sell records, and he wants to make songs that radio will play, but at the same time, he doesn't care. If he puts out a whole record of music that nobody liked and he liked it, he'd feel fine about it.
Like the Blue Chair album.
Like the Blue Chair album. He did that for himself, you know.
And I love that album. That's my favorite one he's ever done. That whole just guitar, acoustic, chill, like you're just hanging out at the beach album. It's good stuff.
But don't you think it bothers them, though, if they, even though they make millions and millions of dollars and, you know, they're fine and they really never have to make an album ever again financially to pay bills and whatnot. But don't you think that they still want to be relevant? Don't you think that they still want to be part of the scene? And so they make music that can make them part of the scene still, and they're not too out there?
I mean, everybody, you have to do it your own way. There are guys who keep trying to make music that, like Tim. Tim McGraw is making albums that sound like modern country, like today's country radio, that we're still playing the songs on the radio, and they still have a Tim McGraw flavor. Mm-hmm. Then there's guys like George Strait that just, if you're going to make a George Strait album, it's going to sound like a George Strait album. The 40th one sounded like the 30th one sounded like the second one. And he evolved lyrically, and he evolved as a storyteller, but the style was very similar. And nobody could tell him otherwise, but not a lot of people can get away with that.
Well, and it makes me feel bad for the guys who are just starting. They kind of pretty much have to make the music that they're told to make.
Yes. I won't say names, but I know a couple of young artists who were made to record songs and produce songs certain ways that they didn't want to, because it's what's going on now, you know. Meanwhile, there's guys like Luke Bryan that when you hear this new Luke Bryan album, it comes out today, actually, you're going to hear most of it is I don't want to say traditional, but more traditional. It sounds like
it doesn't sound like Kick the Dust Up.
No, nothing else sounds like Kick the Dust Up.
With a cup, cup,
fill your cup
up,
tear it up. No, everything else sounds like 15 years ago, like early 2000s.
Oh, that's cool.
Like he's taking it a step back to even like his first and second record.
Yeah, that's good. I think style-wise, we need somebody like a Luke to do that every
exactly.
now and then.
Exactly. You need a Luke Bryan.
Tim did
to
it,
go,
though, with Diamond Rings and Old Barstools. That's right. Such a country song.
And he can do it because he's Tim McGraw. He can put out, you know, basically
Truck, yeah.
The thing is, whatever Luke Bryan releases, radio at this point as an industry will play, and people will buy, and people will like it. So he can kind of steer the industry.
That's a dangerous
back to the
position.
Middle.
That's a
it
dangerous
is.
Place to be.
And there's never more than two or three guys who are in that position, because you could easily say that once upon a time Kenny Chesney was that guy, but he's, you know, Kenny Chesney's still going to get his songs on the radio, but he's not the biggest guy. Right now it's Luke Bryan. 2 years ago it was probably Blake Shelton. Anything Blake Shelton would have sent us, we would play. You know. So,
and what's the lifespan of that position?
I mean, Kenny held it long. Kenny held it for like 5 years. Kenny was the guy.
It was Garth before that. George, you know, was the same way.
There's a while Alan Jackson was that guy in the early 2000s where everything he touched turned to gold.
By the way, if you haven't heard the new Alan Jackson stuff, it's amazing. It sounds like old Alan Jackson, which to me is refreshing again.
Mm-hmm. Who's the next? Because Luke's is, man. I mean, he'll leave it. He'll lose it, I guess, probably.
There's a couple of guys
year.
That I see that thing.
Sam
Remember,
Hunt.
Take a step back. Remember when Luke Bryan was just a guy that had a couple of hits, and suddenly we kind of knew? Like, Bubba was the first one to call it. He said, you know, they've got Luke Bryan pegged to be.
He's the next
he's
star.
He's going to be the next mega superstar. And we were like,
I actually said Luke he's Bryan? The next Kenny Chesney. And he is. I mean, he kind of has.
I remember when he told Luke that.
Yeah,
yeah, and Luke was like, no, and that man, no. You know, but yeah, look at this. Here we are. That was 5 years ago. It didn't happen right away, but you could just see it was going to be him.
And here's the thing is Bubba knew that from intel from the record label. And
yeah, a friend of mine
it played that he knows. Anyway.
Well, you know who I think is?
They actually said that they were going to invest a lot of money and put a lot of effort into making him huge, like a super, super star.
And I hate to hear that because then I realize how artificial most of this is.
But I'll say it again. Everyone wants to say it's a conspiracy, but it's not.
People buy it's not artificial. They just knew said they had something very marketable, and they went for it. I don't think it's artificial because his fame wouldn't be anything if people weren't really into him. And I mean, dude, you go to a show, a Luke Bryan show, and they're really into Luke.
I think the guy right now, if you made me pick one, I'm going to tell you it's Thomas Rhett.
You think?
I don't know what it is.
That new album is...
it's going to be very good, and it's going to be different, but it's going to stand out.
I like the disco song. Not the one that sounds like Meghan Trainor. What's...
Oh, Tangled is the album cut. The title
I like
cut.
That song, man. I know it's not traditionally country, because it sounds like a disco
got
record.
Got some good country sound and stuff on there. I don't know. I just... something hit me watching the CMA... countries, the special on ABC from CMA Music Fest that they tape. Like, everybody got one song. And then suddenly Thomas Rhett was on again, and they showed him singing two whole songs on a three-hour special. And I thought, Thomas Rhett? Thomas Rhett's like a guy with, you know, one album out. Why is he? Oh, and then it just kind of hit me. Oh, everybody loves Thomas Rhett. My 66-year-old mother loves Thomas Rhett, and my 16-year-old niece loves Thomas Rhett. They all think he's... good looking and because a great singer and great style and great songs. I'm like, you know what? That sounds like we were talking about Luke Bryan 5 years ago. I think it's him.
Yeah.
The other guy that I think has the potential to is like blow up and be an enormous star is Dustin Lynch.
Yeah.
I think there's something about Dustin that is just, he's got such a star quality about him.
And his shows are good.
Shows are great.
What about Sturgill Simpson? He's going to be the next thing.
You know, Sturgill's
I wish Sturgill would pop, but I don't see it happen. Sturgill will always be a fringe player, and I hate saying that because I really like his music. I like the fact that, you know, Sturgill sounds like Waylon Jennings really high. I mean, that's what he sounds like, though.
It's country sounding, but lyrically and style wise, it's not.
It's not so great.
The country.
I've seen Jesus play a flame like a fire.
Can he do that?
And I was standing in. That's a great lyric. How's that not a great lyric?
I'm not saying it's not a great lyric. I'm telling you, if my
kick the dust up, fill my cup up.
My cousin JP was here. He'd look at you and go, "What the hell's that mean?" That's it.
I don't know what it means.
I don't,
But he sounds great.
But you like it.
He does sound great.
Well, most people, they have to understand lyrics to like it. Country people.
Yeah.
You know. I heard Natalie Maines knock country music. Shocking. Y'all,
she knocked
shocking
country music?
Natalie Maines knocking country music.
Stop.
And country audience.
You so crazy.
But I want to say, paraphrasing, basically.
Well, they're about to come back, though. She said they're about to do a...
Not country. Or not. It won't be mainstream country. What she said was she hated country music. Because it was so simple and so, what's the word she used? Transparent. Because the lyrics were so easy to understand, and she just thought that was so stupid and
it wasn't cerebral enough for her.
Yeah, and look, that is I've been saying this since I was 20 years old. There's two types of music. There's literal and figurative, and there's a small gray area of stuff in the middle that's a little bit of both, like Pat Green and Randy Rogers and. Stuff like that, where the lyrics aren't quite super difficult to understand, poetic, and they're not quite really easy to understand, literal. There's very few people in that middle, and those people in the middle are the ones who have the hardest time being mainstream, because people either want their music to be artistic and poetic, or they want it to be literal and easy to understand. Country is one of those forms of music where the audience wants to understand the lyrics and want it to be very easy to get.
So. Well, yeah, whatever. What do you know?
What do I know? I don't know much.
What else is going on? By the way, my dad is better. He's resting. He's at home. He's stable.
Give a little bit of the back. I mean, because he's better and nobody.
He collapsed and had a seizure and.
Then was unresponsive, right?
Like
they're calling it a. You know, they weren't there,
right?
Know, so that they don't really.
So,
but
so what? What
it was
you get a
spell?
Call from,
I don't know what you're calling.
You get a call from Sue, his wife, that something that he was.
Yes.
Out like.
Yeah, and so you know they don't really know. They ran all kinds of tests. I mean, I think they ran everything but an MRI. And that's the one they really need to do to kind of close out a bunch of other things. But he can't get in an MRI.
Oh, no.
He's too claustrophobic.
Oh.
And
can't they knock him out for that?
Yeah, they can, but that's
dangerous.
Yeah, I mean it is. That's a big deal.
Well, I didn't know it was dangerous.
And he can't even do he can't even do like an open MRI. He can't do that. He can't watch.
Is it the noise?
It's yeah, partly.
Because an MRI has got that kind of noise going on.
He can't watch a movie where someone's in a cave spelunking.
Wow.
It gets that much. He has to get turned off.
Can he take elevators?
He has, if it doesn't start moving quickly, he has to get off of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, remember the time I flew him in the plane? And
oh, my gosh. And you're in the little plane? He must have been.
Well, here's what he did. Before we had flown, we went to Oklahoma City to see my aunt, his sister. And going there, he was okay. He wasn't terrible. He wasn't real talkative, but he was fine. On the way back, we're sitting at the little area before you take off, you know, a little sitting area. And I'm asking him questions, and he's like completely drugged out of his head. And I go, "Hey, Dad. Yeah? Are you okay?" "I'm okay."
What was he on?
What? So he had taken, this is what he said anyway. He said that he forgot that he took his medication before breakfast, and so then he took it again after breakfast, and so it like knocked him into La La Land. But what it did was we got on the plane and he slept the entire time, the entire flight. He was asleep when we took off, and he was asleep when I landed.
Wow.
I had to wake him up to get him out of the plane. So I almost think that he did it on purpose. So he could just be out. I don't know.
Yeah, so he wouldn't be stressed.
Yeah. So I don't, maybe he didn't, but I think that's what he did.
Oh, man.
So anyway, he's at home. He's going to have a heart monitor that kind of sees, they didn't see anything on his heart. His heart seemed pretty healthy. Surprising. And so they said, we're going to watch it for the next 3-4 weeks on this monitor. And I guess it sends things to somewhere, and they can monitor it, or he gives it to them, and they plug it in to see if it's getting weird, variations or whatever. And so, I don't know. That's what we know. We got to get the MRI next, but they are gonna have to knock him out for even the open MRI.
Sounds like my Jeep. He's the intermittent electrical problem.
You still got that fixed?
Of the human world? No, I haven't.
Did you talk to the guys about getting it traded back?
No, here's the weird thing. When you buy a vehicle, a used vehicle, you don't get any kind of warranty or anything like that. And I bought it, and then like the very next day when I went to go drive it, the battery was dead. So I, pulled out the trickle charger, got it going, brought it to my bud's shop after getting the battery checked out, and everything was fine with the battery, brought it to their shop. Well, they found it's basically an intermittent electrical drain somewhere. Somehow it just drains, and they don't know why, when, what, because it can go 2 days, it can go 3 days, it can go 8 hours, it can go 4 hours. So it's one of those weird things where I can't even trust the Jeep to go to pick up groceries, because it'll be fine. I go get the groceries, I walk back out, I won't be able to go anywhere. It's really weird. So I haven't been able to go by, because I don't want to call these guys and talk to them, because I think it's easier to blow somebody off on the telephone. So I'm going to go in. It's in the shop again. I should be able to talk to him today and find out what's up. But I want to go to the place that I bought it from and just say, "Hey, look, here's what I would like to do. First of all, I would like for you to buy the vehicle back from me for the price I paid for it. See if they go for that. If they don't do that, then I'm going to say, I would like for you to, let's make an even swap. Put me in another vehicle, because this one doesn't work."
Yeah.
"For the same price, basically just swap it clean. You take the Jeep back, I'll take whatever else you got, and something similarly priced, and call it a day." If they don't go for that, then, I'll see about maybe having them pay the repair bills or whatever, and the rental car costs and all that kind of stuff. They probably won't go for that. And then I'll look into lawyer end, because there's got to be someone somewhere that has had a situation like this and actually won the lawsuit. And all I need is one for the precedent to be set, and then I'm good, and I'll fight it. I think it's worth it at that point because I'm way upside down in this vehicle, and I can't trade out of it. You know what I mean? So it's yeah. it's a bad place to be to have a vehicle you can't drive that you just bought.
That sucks.
It does suck. It does suck because it looks so good.
Oh, it does, man. It's like you. You look great, but you run terrible.
No, I actually run great.
You just look terrible.
I look terrible.
Man, I was thinking about you the other day, Zach, because I know that you love magic, Bubba. Patrick does too, but Bubba's really into it. Zach is working on seven. This is my oldest son, Zach. He's into magic. My younger son is into sports and stuff, but Zach is really, really good at it, and he studies it. Like, he has. It's an art to him. Like he has
it is an
a,
art.
He has a series of books that
illusion
he reads
is an art
and videos and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, he probably studies it 3-4 hours a day. It's crazy.
Goodness gracious.
And so I noticed yesterday he was sitting around the table, and to watch him deal with a deck of cards, it looks like somebody who is a Vegas
dealer.
Like, it's bizarre. He does, you know, all the things where people go, you know, yeah. you know, and they do all this. Well, he can do all that, but of course, that's easy stuff. But he's doing different forms of it. And then he does different fans, different styles of fans where they're double
and
decked.
Fanning
and they're standing
is
out
actually,
to hear.
Fanning is actually a very difficult thing for someone to learn.
But he showed me a trick. Now, listen, I'm intelligent. I can see through your tricks most of the time. And I've told you that he's done some where I'm like, and how'd you do that? A lot of these things that, you know, they're kind of variations on the same thing. So last night, he goes, hey, Dad, I want to show you a trick. I'm like, okay, cool. So he goes, here's four aces, lays out four aces. Then he takes three cards and puts them on top of that one. Takes three more cards. But so there's four stacks of cards with four in each one. And the ace is up and the other cards are down. He takes the first stack and he goes, oh, well, so he take this, boom, and he hits it with his finger, boom, and they all turn into regular cards. The aces disappears.
How does he do that?
Dude, I don't know. I was like,
where did he have them?
I don't know.
Did you grab the cards from him and go, let me see that?
No. And I forgot to tell you that, but when he did all that, he also dealt out four cards and had me put my hand on them the entire trick. So right. My hand's on these other cards. So then he does the next thing. He makes that ace disappear, and there are four regular cards. And then he does the next one, it disappears. And then the next one. And he goes, turn your cards over. Now, the cards that
you had
were.
The aces
I had
your
all
hand.
Four of the
oh,
aces.
Oh, my goodness. And you know there's a trick
how?
To it, but
I
you
don't
just,
know.
Yeah.
It was. I was like.
It's like that close up magic where they rip a page out of a book and they have you sign it. And then
yeah.
and then you have the envelope that was sealed the whole time, and later on you open the envelope
and it's your
in
thing?
The page.
How the heck?
I don't know. It drives me crazy every time.
I said, Zach, sir, that's really, really good. I said, that's really great.
Is it the best trick
he's
done yet?
It's the best one he's ever done. I had him do it four times.
And you kept watching everything, different parts?
Every time. And what's weird is he's standing right in front of you, and he'll have like a piece of paper, like, and he'll go, let's make a. He goes, I found out a way to make money illegally, and he'll like write $5. This is a real $5 bill, like on a little piece of paper, and then he'll fold it up, and with his fingers, and then he just goes, and it's gone. He goes, it takes a second to kind of get this going, and then all of a sudden he goes, and there's a $5 bill in his hand. I'm like, what the crap? Dude,
that's crazy.
It's crazy.
I still think we should have him do an on-air magic show.
He's into it now.
I'm all about that.
He wants to do seven. He's got a 7 to 10 minute set now that he's done, that he has crafted, and it's mixed in. He's got, you know, coin magic. It's, you know, cups and balls. It's cards. Or
has
whatever.
He ever thought about doing one of those? I'm sure there's like magic camps or something like you, where you go away for the summer and you work on your thing.
I guess. I don't know. But he's getting a magic mentor, someone who's older and not. That guy, I told you that one guy was pretty goofy.
But, you know, but that was the guy who was telling him to come up with
a Russian accent.
You must come up with the name.
You must have a whole different personality.
They have like an international competition every few. It's not every year, but it's like every couple of years.
For youth. Yeah, I watched it on.
Like there's one for adults too. It's like the International Magic something or other. And they name the world's greatest magician like every 4 or 5 years. A guy I went to high school with is going to compete in that.
Really?
Like, oh, okay.
He just wants to do it to make side money. He wants to go to restaurants and be able to walk up to the table and just go, hey, can I show you guys a trick? And then do it on tips.
That kind of stuff would be great as a like a waiter, you know?
I see. I had a waiter who did that one time and annoyed the poo out of me.
You got to know your audience. Some people aren't into that. But, you know, we were at a restaurant one time on vacation with my whole family, like 20 of us, and this guy came up and started doing magic tricks. It was the coolest thing ever.
Did he, the guy that you had that did it, did he do it like and say, okay, I'll do a trick for you for a tip? Or
no, that's at the end, and he goes, hey, thanks for going. He goes, hey, I'm going to show you guys a trick real quick. And immediately, I don't know, he was kind of...
He just has such a low tolerance for douchebaggery.
I just
he
do. Really does. I really do, man.
If the guy was even just a little bit annoying.
And like, I was just like, I go, and I looked at him, I said, hurry it up, man. Make it quick.
Make it quick. Well, what if somebody like just came up and instead of, let me show you a trick, what if they just, you know, they took your check and they made it appear out of nowhere?
You know,
that would be kind of cool.
And that's my problem with Zach going to these restaurants is that some people don't want that. You know, like that was I was not in a mood to deal with this guy, and he was kind of goofy. Now, if it had been a kid, maybe it's different. But I don't know. I'm just kind of a curmudgeon sometimes, I guess.
What?
And I just was like
curmudgeon.
I was like,
that's a great word.
I go, okay, let's hurry it up, man. And so he immediately is off put, you know, and he's trying to hurry it up, and he screwed it up, and he's like, hold on, let me try it again.
He screwed up his own trick?
Yes, because he felt the pressure, because I was pressuring him, I guess, and, you know, he knew I didn't want him to do it, and he's doing it anyway. And then he finishes. He goes, anyway, enough of all that mess. You guys have a great night, okay?
You have a great night.
Hey, you guys have a great night, okay? I guess because he reminded me of so many radio people who try so hard.
Okay, guy.
Who try so hard to be, I don't even know what they're trying to do. They're not being themselves. I don't have a problem with the radio person who's terrible if it's really the way they are. If that's just you and you're just not really great or whatever, but that's how you are, fine. I can live with that. That's who you are. These people who fake who they are and put on this, oh, man, I can't handle
what
it.
What are you talking about?
They all kind of...
Stop it.
It's this kind of right here.
Here we go.
I don't understand that.
I don't understand
Never
it either.
Understood it.
I don't. But you know what's weird is, and I told this to you guys last week, is I kind of like my sports announcers to kind of have that. If you listen to the sports announcers,
he's out of the 50, the 10, the 5, the inside touchdown.
It's not quite so that.
Oh.
But it's a little, you know, they kind of do this. Well, you know, this is the fifth time that he's been it's a little bit of that. The voice is deeper.
You know what? Those
baseball guys do
the guys
that
who
a lot.
Are really cool.
Baseball guys are the worst.
The guys who have really cool voices, that's how they talk all the time. They just have that
I don't know.
Natural speaking voice.
You don't know that?
Oh, no. I mean, we've talked to a couple of these guys who are, you know, big-time play-by-play guys, and that's just how they talk.
Some of them do. Some of them, I don't think some of them do, but or all of them do.
It just drives me.
And then
me.
The color guy, he's not that way. He's like this. He's like, yeah, you know, I mean, you're gonna go back. You're going to try to make that play. You're going to have to
because
make sure you get
a
position.
A lot of times the color guy is an athlete.
He's a former player.
Yeah.
And I did color commentary in high school, and I'm telling you right now, I didn't talk like this.
You should have.
No
you
one told
like
me
this.
To.
Now, the guy who did, what is it called? Color and what's the other guy?
It's the play-by-play.
The main guy.
The play-by-play guy didn't do that much. But, yeah, he had a bit of a serious, in one of these, in the serious newscaster voice.
Yes, that's it.
Serious newscaster voice.
yeah, that's
like
it.
This all the time.
Yeah, and I kind of think you have to have that with that. I don't know, maybe you don't. But if that guy was just like, hey, all right, well, here we are. It's the second game of a three-game series. And I think I would be kind of like, well, this isn't quite as special.
You know that's my dream job, right?
It's not as Dude, special.
Play-by-play.
It sound is special. It's
special
a play-by-play.
Is right.
Yeah. I want to, oh, God. I really wish I had stuck with that, you know, because it's just something so magical about it.
I can see you doing that.
I just, you know, I get it. I have the excited part down. I can get that part. You know, it's the how to do the other 3 hours of the game, you know, that aren't the four exciting plays that happen. But I don't know.
And then you get, like, then you'll get like having to keep up with all the stats and all that stuff.
You know, that just interests me a lot. So anyway, I think it's cool.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's cool.
We're glad that you're doing what you're doing, man.
Thanks.
I mean, we're glad that you're doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much. I don't like what you're doing.
Coming up at 7:20.
Well, we got the
7:20. We're going to be
phase.
Got the phrase pays.
The secret sound.
Who's the dead guy in the envelope? We'll find out. At 7:20. 7:20. Get your chance to win coming up on the big one.
Worst prize you ever gave away on the radio. Patrick, go.
Oh, it's got to be Alouette spreadable cheese. That's still got
to
see how.
People called in to win spreadable cheese.
Someone in the sales department of the radio station at the time had decided that we had to, they sold the giveaway. So the prize would be Alouette spreadable cheese.
Do you remember we were like.
We all looked at each other like it was
we're really doing
I don't know what's worse, that or the time it was the three-piece fried chicken combo for Popeyes. I don't know which one of those is the worst prize. I feel like
the
Alouette spreadable cheese is the worst prize.
Yeah.
I do.
I think.
Or any time you qualify for something that isn't like a huge.
So they always give you like some crappy thing as their qualifying gift. Oh. Like, you are qualified and we're not done yet. You also get the family 4-pack of nuggets.
Oh, God.
And everything's a family 4-pack.
Oh, yeah. Family 4-pack. And you got your More Music Monday, your
basically,
free ticket Tuesday.
You know what the old family 4-pack is? The family 4-pack is we have so many of these to give away, and there's no way we can give them all away two by two. So here's four. We're going to cut our time in half because this is a crappy prize. You get a family 4-pack. Go.
We're terrible. We're making fun of our own industry.
I know. It's
this
awful.
Industry
well,
that's really good to us.
You know what, Daryl? There's something you could do about it.
You know, here's the thing, though. The industry has issues right now. I think every industry does. And the thing with ours is we have a bunch of people who were thrust into position when they never actually earned those positions. And they don't know what to do, so they fall back on these things that they've heard other people do, and they just they don't have a creative bone in their body, and they don't understand how to make things fun.
Okay, you say you got asked to do a panel for
because
I hadn't heard about that. So you just kind of mentioned it right a few minutes ago before we got it started.
Yeah, during country radio seminar. So,
like, I always go back to the story that Jerry House told us. He's one of our radio, you know, forefathers.
No.
He said, you know, he was asked to do one of those panels, and all he did was tell him, well, you know, I show up, I read the newspaper, I try to write jokes, and then I try to be funny. And the guys running it got mad because, like, why didn't you tell him any secrets? He said, there are no secrets. I'm funny. I show up, I look and see what's going on in the world, and I try to tell jokes about it.
Yeah,
that's what I do. He goes, well, people can't do that. Well, sorry, but that's what I do. She's like, what are you going to show up and tell people how to prepare for a show? Well, we live our lives, and things happen, and then we show up and talk about it, and we try to make it funny and interesting.
Yeah.
And you go, well, not everybody can do that. Well, sorry.
It isn't like we have to come in and try to be funny because not everything is funny.
No.
But we are going to tell you the story our way, and if you find it entertaining, cool. If not, then, you know, there's 30 other radio stations out there. Good luck.
I think it's a mix of doing that, and then, you know, it's you can do that. This is me. This is what I like to do. I like to have a show it's a little bit of that. It's a little bit of maybe a fun kind of silly game. I like music-based breaks. I like stuff like
that. You like to take calls from people things that are interesting.
Yes. I like people who have strange speech patterns. I like talking to them. I like having people who are different. I like conflicts where, hey, I've got a situation going on. What should I do? I think all of that together makes a really interesting show. Listen, we're not reinventing the wheel. We are killing 4 hours of your time. We only have you for about 15 to 20 minutes.
We don't do the same thing every day.
No,
every
at the
day,
same time, the same thing.
Same time.
No,
we're
going to
tell you what
that.
The good news is, or we're going to tell you what the...
We have three things that we do every single day at the same time. The show kickoff.
right,
is always at the same time. Tasty tweets are always at the same time, and that's something that we couldn't move because now you're in the habit of always having it there.
Well, we can move it, and no one would care. They would be like, oh, what's Tasty Tweets? What are we doing? Like, okay, cool, thanks.
But when we forget to do them, oh, we hear about it.
But so what? That tweets. Doesn't mean anything. It's like people who use Paul Harvey. Well, sometimes Paul Harvey wouldn't air. And they would think, oh, this Paul Harvey didn't air. Okay, and he'll be back tomorrow. What? What are you upset about? You missed a cutesy story that you can now get on the internet. Actually, it's probably been shared on Facebook 5 times. And you missed it because you're not.
What's the third thing, Bubba?
The show closed.
The close. Okay. Yep. So the open and the close of the show is the three things we do at the same time every day.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, we don't really put ourselves in a. Let me tell you something. We had a lot of guys who we used to work with.
Oh my
who that was their. They
it's
didn't.
Still, that's still what they go to. That's the go to thing. Well, yeah. You got to have benchmarks. No, we don't. Maybe if you don't have the ability to make stuff up for 4 hours every day, maybe you need benchmarks. We don't.
Right, we don't.
You gave away our secret.
Oh,
that
sorry.
Was a secret. Stuff up.
Stupid.
Sorry.
Dang it.
What are you going to tell these people on the panel? You should go in there and tell them a bunch of crap we don't do. You should go in there and tell them a bunch of benchmarks.
We can have a list. We can make this ginormous list. And we can be like, okay, we'll hand them out. We'll hand out printed out versions of our list. And on the very last one and say, we don't do any of this crap. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then they won't even get that until they're home or they're sitting in their hotel room and they're reading it. And they're like, this is such great stuff. Oh, they don't do any of this.
Oh, so great.
Yeah, but anyway.
It's a fantastic inside joke.
Yeah, really. It really is. Well, I love you guys. We got a big weekend ahead, so we probably want to wrap this up.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, Bubba and I are traveling. We'll be on the road again.
Grays Harbor County Fair.
Oh, yeah.
Right. If you're an Aberdeen or Washington State folk person, Olympia, all that kind of stuff, come see us. We would love to hang out with you and take pictures and
still
all that good
Patrick,
stuff.
Sorry, yawn and
sorry,
I yawn.
Sorry, I yawn.
Man, my dog yawns and it makes me yawn.
I'm eating a banana.
Isn't that weird?
He's eating a banana.
Oh, you're God, don't do the freaking banana voice.
Did you tell Patrick what happened
I
with
heard
the banana?
That, yes, you almost got thrown in airport jail for being a nut job making a banana talk.
Everybody,
oh my
banana.
God! Look at this. Do you draw a face on every banana?
Yeah, why not?
Do you draw even if you're gonna eat it?
Uh huh. I'm gonna eat this one after all.
And so you just draw a face with a Sharpie
on
a banana.
It just makes me happy. It's funny looking.
Hey, it's funny looking. Yeah. Hey, Patrick. Hey, podcast listener.
Oh wow!
What are you doing?
Yeah, when he started periscoping, he goes, "This is what SR."
That video's on our Facebook page.
He's like,
"See the stupidity."
He goes, "I'm gonna periscope the banana talking." I'm like. Don't do that here, man. It's quiet.
In the airport where there's people sitting around.
It's quiet. It's just, it's like an elevator.
It's the very last terminal, so like you're stuck at the end. It's like a cul-de-sac. It's really quiet.
A cul-de-sac, you mean?
A cul-de-sac.
Oh, my God.
And so he starts doing it, man, and the guy next to him was not having any of it.
Dude.
I took a picture of him. He was not happy. He got up and left. Of course, Bubba's pointing the banana at him, going,
I was talking
hey,
to
how
him.
How are you doing?
I was trying to get him
engaged.
And the
guy was like,
and like people getting off their airplane.
I would have.
Where are you guys coming from?
Hey, welcome. We love you. You spend lots of money while you're here in our beautiful city.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I got to be honest with you. I think I would have got up and left too.
I don't understand how somebody didn't call airport security.
I don't either.
Go,
I really, hey. I mean,
did
I'm not joking. I really.
Did you notice the cop at the gate?
No.
Airport security guy actually walked up, but it wasn't because of me. It was because the door was beeping.
Yeah.
But like he walked up and I went, oh, wow, I'm about to get busted. They're going to be like, you cannot get on the flight.
How come you're not going to let me on? Is it because I'm a banana?
Well, sir, you are clearly deranged.
It's because I'm yellow, isn't
it? You're a bananaist.
Oh yeah, you'll have the red orange on, or your orange on.
Good luck putting these handcuffs on me. I'm a banana. I don't have hands.
Bananas have feeling, people do.
Anyway, okay.
again. All right, on that note.
All right, and on that, hit the old alto.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.